Let's open our Bibles, and Lord willing, we're going to get at the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And such a wonderful completion from the 18th chapter. We started to see that God poured out that judgment upon the great whore, which was basically half of that real presence of the Antichrist, in a sense. And the great whore was the representation, as we I've been studying, of that Romanish system, the ones that have completely turned away from God, the ones that have turned themselves completely over to their self-works, as she gloried in herself, as she presented herself a prophetess, as she presented herself as something that was a chaste virgin, as something that would be acceptable to God, bringing that glory to herself. And obviously it was shown that that was not what God was looking for whatsoever. That she was a harlot, and God dealt with her so. Even used that Antichrist himself to come taking those ones with him that basically said ate of her flesh and burned her to the ground. So now in this 19th chapter is the second part of this judgment, which is basically the political side, the worldly leader, as we'll understand, and as we have read already, which represents that Antichrist, the one that will come to the head, the one that the false prophet will do these miracles, do these great things, these wonders. Obviously, this Antichrist is stricken, has a mortal wound to the head. After 3 days, comes to life, and the world wonders after this person. So here we go into the 19th chapter, and it says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, the highest praise to God, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God." And I want to pause there for a moment. And this is a wonderful group of people. We were introduced to them back in Revelation chapter 7, also known as the innumerable multitude. And you'll notice that this group says in unison, salvation. Again, if you read back in chapter 7, verse 10, they said salvation. Wonderful to say salvation. I am so thankful that I am saved. I am so gloriously saved and so perfectly kept in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that my standing is perfect in Him. So wonderful to know that. But by the grace of God, I want to become that worshiper. The worshiper that's seen in that wonderful four living one company. The worshiper that Christ Jesus, that God said, "I am looking, I am searching for them that worship me in spirit and in truth." That is the worshiper, the true worshiper that God is looking for His Son. But you'll notice that, again, this group says salvation of much people, this innumerable multitude, and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And again, I do want to make reference that we read, and let's look back there in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. I just want to show you again the difference of the praise and honor and glory, a very similar statement, but this is sung and said by those that are the four living ones and the 24 elders, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb which was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now, praise God, you look at that what they had just said there, and it's missing the riches, it's missing the wisdom, it's missing the strength, and it's missing the blessing. And praise God, I really do believe that the Bride of Christ sees those things in their wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do see that those that diligently seek Him, that He's going to reward them. There is going to be a company that is going to reign with Christ Jesus because they have suffered. As the Word of God tells us that we are an heir of God and we are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with Him. And praise God, this is the praise that we can give to the Lord God right now, where we can say, "Thank you, Lord, that the power that we've received." Do you believe that you've received riches at this time in your relationship with Christ? I hope you've seen them. I hope you're living them. And I hope that by the grace of God that you're seeing the wisdom and the strength and the blessing that He's given to you as well too. And I think it is very important to understand, what are these different companies of people? What are they thankful for? What are they praising God with? It's wonderful. All things that have breath will give praise to God. They'll acknowledge that. But at the same time, isn't it wonderful to know that there is a people, there is a company that will understand the very riches of His glory and the very riches of His grace. Praise God. Now verse 2 of 19th chapter. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore. And we read about that again in the 18th chapter. Which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again in Revelation 6:9, those were the souls that we read about that were under the altar that said, how long, Lord, are we going to have to suffer till You make this thing right? And we see that this harlot gets her payback, and God gave it to her. And isn't it a wonderful thing that there's such a euphoric time at this moment in time in heaven. And you can see that these people are just, again, coming together, the people of God, and giving praise to Him of all these different things. But they're so thrilled that the great whore has finally had her judgment. And you think, well, why is there such a focus to that? Because it just seems to me that, you know, maybe there would be other things that would have focus at this time. But people don't realize what a great defeat that the false bride was. And the false bride is going to be. This is the one that is destroyed. See, the reason that there's such euphoria is because the real bride is coming. Praise God. And the real wedding is now going to take place because the false bride has been judged. And I just love to see this, that, you know, God, He's going to have His day. And by the grace of God, I know a lot of us think, well, I've never really had my day. Well, your day's going to come. Praise His name. And you're going to stand with Him. And praise God, we can stand with Him in this day. But what company, again, are we going to choose to be in? And it really is a choice that we make. If you really think about it, are we willing to go with Him? Are we willing to go this way that we'll understand that is the way of suffering, that will be a joyous reigning time with Him? Now the third verse. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And I just again appreciate, you know, God's judgment is a great thing. I am sure that when those children of Israel saw the armies of Egypt consumed in that water, I'm sure there was much praise at that time. I'm sure it was a euphoric time. I'm sure it was a time where, you know, Lord, we had been through a lot of things. And we'd suffered a lot of things. And obviously we brought that suffering on ourselves. I don't know if they ever really knew that. Moses did. But I'm sure that that was a great moment when they got to see their enemies destroyed before them. And this is a great enemy. This is the enemy of enemies, in a sense, this false religion that is destroyed before them. And remember how her enormous sin, it said that the iniquities were remembered, and this smoke that's rising up forever and ever. There's going to be a judgment like you can't imagine for this, again, this system and these people that are caught up in this system. Now, verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down. And what did they do? They worshipped God. Every time we read about this wonderful company, they're worshipping God. Now again, this isn't something that's just going to happen in your life in heaven. By the grace of God, you need to be somebody that's very familiar with your knees. Getting down upon those knees. Getting down and by the grace of God, praising Him. Thanking Him for the things in your life. I mean, continually in prayer. I'm talking about where you're really, your meditation during the day is about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It really is. That you're at work and you're doing the things that you need to do. But as your mind is just so captivated, truly captivated with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Thanking Him that He's even given you that work. Thanking Him in all things. And praise God, when you have a something that might come up your way, that might be a little bit beyond you, and hopefully you're finding that everything basically is beyond you anyways, but where you would be instant in prayer, that you'd be saying, Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me wisdom. Do you know, He said, just ask Him. He doesn't hold back a thing. It says He abradeth not. He gives it liberally. A lot of people say, I'm so confused. A lot of times I say, well, Lord, I'm confused. Ask me, son. Just ask me. But in asking, believe Him that you'll receive it. That's the expectation of Him. That's the prayer with supplication. Knowing that He's heard me. Knowing that He's answering, again, my request. Praise God. And I do believe He answers every single prayer. It's just that sometimes we're not looking for His answer. We're looking for our own, aren't we? Now again, a lot of people look at you and say, oh, you're just caught up into everything's good, isn't it? Well, sure it is. I believe Romans 8:28, that all things do work together for my good. You're either going to believe God or you're not. And I choose by His grace to believe Him. It's a lot better place to be, isn't it? Amen? Amen. All right. But you'll see these 24 elders and the four beasts. They fall down and they worship God that sat on the throne. Amen. Alleluia. So again, this joint unity of spirit. Isn't it precious? I think about, I was just even rejoicing with the two sisters that came in early tonight and were just singing with one another. What a privilege. Really, it really touched me that we have a family. This is a family. And we are a family of God. Isn't it wonderful? And there's people that don't have families, in a sense, naturally speaking, in this assembly. There's some that have them that really have been cast out of their families for the stand that they've taken in Christ. But I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, and I'm not going to pat you on the back, I want to, again, acknowledge the faithfulness of God in us. But praise God, the love that we have in this place. Praise God for the love that you have for one another. And don't hold it back at all. Let it go just like Jesus Christ. And isn't it a wonderful thing? You know, people say, oh, I really want to be, especially this lady today, and it was sweet. You know, I just want to be used of the Lord. Well, do you know when you're allowing the love of God to come out of your life, you're used in the greatest way that you could imagine. And it's true. When you love like Christ Jesus, when you let the love of God come through your life, that's the greatest thing you could ever do. That's the only thing that'll ever have profit. You could have faith to move mountains. You could speak with the tongues of men and angels. You could give everything that you have to the poor and get yourself in the paper and a great name, and they build buildings with your name on them. It's all going to pass. It's not going to be here anymore. But the Word of God, it's going to remain forever. And aren't you thankful that you're part of the Word of God? Read this Word. We're part of it. He has put us into this. In Him, the very righteousness of God. I love it. He is in me, and I am in Him. Praise His name. All right, going on. And a voice came out of the throne. And I love that voice that comes out of the throne. And any voice that's coming out of that throne that isn't, again, the wonderful voice of our Lord, as we see here, this is going to be one of those ruling and reigning saints. Who's in the midst of the throne? The four living ones. Isn't that precious? So here's that voice. Here's that ruling and reigning. Here's that joint heir with Jesus Christ. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And again, this is this fourth and fifth verse of this company of the bride, and again, the company of the full overcomers that the 24 elders represent of the ones in the Old Testament. They're always leading the worship. And it's so precious that this is the bridal calling, commencing praise from from the servants. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. And I want us to look at that word in the 15th verse. Therefore, and again, this chapter here of the 7th chapter and where we're reading right now is those that are called the innumerable multitude. Again, this is the company of believers that are taking up shortly after the tribulation begins. The bride obviously is taken to heaven at the time of the commencement of the tribulation. And then shortly thereafter, here comes the innumerable multitude. But in the 15th verse, it says, therefore are they before the throne of God. Again, they're not in the midst of the throne, and serve Him day and night in His temple. If you go back again, and let's read verse 5 one more time of chapter 19, verse 5, it says, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Now again, this is this serving company. This is this company that is known as servants. By the grace of God, I want to be in that priest and king company. I want to be in that bridal company. There is a difference here. And this bridal saint is speaking unto these people and to this innumerable multitude. And in the sixth verse, he says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude," responding basically to this voice that came out of the altar, to these servants that, again, he's speaking to. "And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." And again, this is the fulfillment of Isaiah 9:6, where it says that king has come and the child is born, and praise his name that this is Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment of he is going to reign omnipotently at this time. Now going on to verse 7. This is such a precious, precious portion of Scripture. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Now again, this seventh verse is the continuation of the sixth verse. This is the innumerable multitude responding to that voice that came out of the throne that said, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And this is that great multitude responding back, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." These are the wedding guests that are saying this. These are not the ones that are part of that bridal company. They're saying, "Praise God that we're even part of this. Isn't this a wonderful thing that we can even go to the wedding, that we've been invited to this time? We've seen the great whore dealt with, and now we know that Jesus Christ can take the bride. Isn't that wonderful?" And at this time, I think again, isn't it, I guess the word is ironic, that this innumerable multitude was a group that never saw the bride of Christ, did they? Because they weren't raptured with that bridal company, were they? But isn't it precious that God has brought them into that union in a sense that they can partake in that glory? And see, they're not disappointed, are they? Are they crying? Are they murmuring? Are they in pain? Are they saying, "Oh, golly gosh, I missed the bridal call"? No, they're not. They're saying, "Glory, thank you, Jesus, that I'm here and I'm part of this wonderful wedding party," in a sense, of the guests. And God has given them glory in that. I just think how sweet and precious the Lord is. I had read earlier this week, there was a writing by a brother, and he's a very dear man of God, lived so many years ago. And he was just, again, speaking of these saints that wouldn't be part of the bridal company and what torment that they would be up in heaven. And I don't know where he'd get anything like that. I believe I've read the Bible, and it tells me there's not going to be any crying or pain up there. There's not going to be any sorrow up there. Praise God that he wipes away all those tears. Now, I trust him that he's going to bring this into a harmony that I don't understand. I appreciate Brother Copley when he said, "You know, son," as he was talking to Brother Hill, he said to him how it's, because he had been asked about, well, how is not somebody envious of somebody else in heaven, or maybe even a little jealousy that somebody might have a higher ranking than me or whatever. And he said, "Well, son, it's just, think of it this way. Everybody's got a cup. But everybody might have a different size cup. Let's look at it that way. But if your cup is full and overflowing, are you going to be satisfied?" And I said, "Yeah, I kind of see that. Praise God. But you know what? I want a large cup. I want a bowl. I want to drink out of all that God and His wonderful Son will allow me through the Holy Spirit to drink." And we're drinking of that, I believe, tonight. And I believe that we're getting a vision in Him that He has taken us on into something that is so marvelous and so wonderful. But see, they're saying here, "Let us be glad and rejoice, even though that we're the wedding party, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." And I think this is so precious again. Yes, he is going to make known that bride, that he's loved her. And yes, there are going to be those that come and bow down before her feet. But I want you to understand again, not to ever mistake that who is the one that here that's getting the honor from his saints. It's Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? They're magnifying him. They're knowing that this is the one that we have come to honor. And praise God that there's this excitement, because there is this party, there's this group, there is this bride that he has counted worthy to marry him. So the marriage of the Lamb is come. and his wife hath made herself ready. Now what a statement. I believe by his grace, he's actually taking this time in our lives and he's preparing us at this moment to be ready to marry Jesus Christ. He's preparing us for a wedding. But see, to be prepared for this wedding, to be prepared that this wife hath made herself ready, this is somebody that is giving their life that Christ Jesus wills and do and to do in our life. That we become his workmanship. That we understand and can rightfully divide the word of truth. That we truly understand that Christ Jesus has come to us and said, now you Gentiles, ye can be fellow heirs with me. You can be an heir with me as a man and wife. You can enter into something where it is the mystery of the ages. By the grace of God, now walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. See, it's what are we doing with it? I believe there's many people, that have heard of this bridal calling. I believe that there are some people, now we'll cut it down a little bit, that truly have had a vision or do understand that there is a separation here, that there is a company, a bridal company, a rib portion that will come out of the church. But just because you know it, just because you see it, just because you understand that it is going to come to pass, does not mean that you will be part of that company. You have to go after it. By the grace of God, that wonderful bride, Isaac's wonderful bride-to-be, she said, I will go. I will go. Doesn't matter. Well, I'll go tell my family goodbye. And no, the Holy Spirit said, no, you got to go now. And you know what? She hasted. And she said, oh yes, I'm going to go now. It's time to get ready. It's immediate. There's an urgency to the bride of Christ. And as the Lord is dealing with us in our lives, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, don't put him off. Don't. Don't say, I'll do it another day. Don't let the devil tell you, well, I need to go make money for my family now, or I need to go take this job. Don't let the devil tell you, well, this church is a little bit closer to me, so it's more convenient than church is church. See, we get complacent like that, brothers and sisters, and it's not going to happen in our life. I'm just going to tell you. And again, a lot of people hear me say something like that and they say, well, are you just going to be so conceited and vain about the place that, and again, you've attended or you preach at? No, it's not that at all. It's just that I know whom I've believed and I'm persuaded that he's able, but it's he that is able. It's not the events that we're trying to put on. It's not the political agendas that we're trying to follow after. It's that he is able to keep that which I commit to him against that day. Now, by the grace of God, I commit my life to him. I say, Lord, it's yours. But I have to be fed the things of God. And I need to cherish them. I need to cherish these things. Again, it just struck me so Sunday. It's serious, folks. This is the most serious of times. This is the most serious moment in your life right now. Because this is the moment that God has given you. And it's true. Lord, don't let me squander that time. Don't let me neglect so great salvation. And I want the complete kind. Save me right from the tribulation. You know, I know I'm going to see him and I'm going to be just so glorious to see him. I wonder if he'll take some pictures and have us see someday of those that were looking for us the next day. I don't think he'll probably want to do that. But see, Jesus got a... I'm not going to say that's a sense of humor and a funny thing or anything, but there's going to be some surprise folks someday, aren't there? I feel sorry for them. I really do. But I told you. And I can't tell you how many people, as of late, three or four different ones. Are you one of those Christians that really is thinking and believing and expecting Jesus to come anytime? And it's almost like, could there be any other Christian? And most of them aren't, so I understand that. But I'm thankful that I have been raised to look for him. I really am. I'm thankful I have been. But just because I've been raised to look for him doesn't mean that I'm looking for him. I had to make a choice. And I could have just been living on somebody else's faith in a sense, or at least thinking I could have. Riding coattails of a mom or a brother or a grandpa that was looking for Jesus to come. God doesn't have any grandchildren, does he? Right? Amen. Just got children. That's right. And then by the grace of God, he's got some real mature ones that are looking for His appearing. Praise His name. But this again is that wife. This is that bride that makes herself ready. This is the bride that sees that Christ in me is the hope of glory. That it's all about Jesus' work in my life. And again, rest in that, brothers and sisters. I again meet different ones that do, in a sense, understand that there is that separation from the church of that bride. But they still are caught up into a self-work. That they still think that the completing work of somebody that truly is going to be in that bridal company is something that comes from something I do. Some goodness that I have to pursue. Something in my life that I have to keep. It's God's testimony in my life. It really is. And I believe that as I've, by His grace, fallen more and more in love with Him, I've become a better person. I've become more a man of God. I've become more like Him. I've become more like the one that it says, oh, by the grace of God, isn't the law a wonderful thing as it pertains to Christ and as He can effectively work that in my life? That I don't want to steal, that I don't want to lie. Not that I live any perfect life. I still do fail, don't get me wrong. But I don't want to do those things anymore. He's willing in me to do of His good pleasure. And His good pleasure is righteousness. And His good pleasure is the wonderful goodness that God can perform in our lives. He does. He wants us to be, believe it or not, a lot of people don't understand this, He wants us to be law-abiding citizens, even in our county or state that we live in. He does. He wants us to seek peace with men as much as lies within me. Well, I want Him to lie within me. And that was the one that even turned the other cheek, that gave Himself up, that said, you can spit on me. I don't know if I'm gone that far yet. But see, what Jesus wants to work in our life is to be like Him. Mm-hmm. Christ-like. Praise His name. But that's the one that's going to have that readiness that's looking for Him. The one that truly enters again into that joint suffering. The one that knows Him in the fellowship of His suffering. The one that knows that it will be worth it all. That, you know, if you're not willing to pick up the cross and come after me, you're not going to have it. I love you. I want you to. I'm not going to force it, though. You've got to go pick up that. That's something you're going to have to desire in your life. There's a yielding, brothers and sisters. There really is. And it's a sweetness. And it's a profit to our life. And it says that, again, that the Lord, there's a reward to us. There's a reward to those that diligently seek Him. And that He is a rewarder like none other in our life. And going on now in verse 8. And to her was granted. And I love that verse. That word right there, granted, means rewarded. That she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. But it doesn't stop there with just clean and white. Clean and white's a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong. That's His wonderful righteousness. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And I want to stop here for a moment. And this fine linen that we read about here is from the Greek word lampron, which means sumptuously brilliant. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? See, and I'll just jump ahead a little bit, and Lord willing, we'll get there. But you'll notice in the where is it here? In the 14th verse, it says, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This linen is lukon, which means white and pure. But it's not sumptuously brilliant. There's a difference. I think the only real garments that are sumptuously brilliant were those garments maybe that Esther put on. What do you think? That when that king saw her, he just couldn't say anything more except it's yours. And I want you. And half of it's yours and half of it's mine and all of it's ours. Sumptuously brilliant. That's how we can become to Jesus Christ. Something that He so desires. Knowing that His desire is toward me, is for me. Completely. He's enamored with me because of His work in me. And notice, again, the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Brother Copley goes on to say it's the righteous acts in a sense, that we have in our life. And a lot of people get bent out of shape about that. Oh, see, there it is. Something you have to do in your life. Something, no, that's not what he was getting at all. Again, it's followed up by that he would will and do of his good pleasure in my life. Do you understand that any goodness that you'll ever have that comes out of your life is what Jesus Christ does in it? What do you think it says, what it means, I should say, when it says we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When it says that we are in truth and love, speaking truth and love, that we grow up into Him in all things. It's His work. It's His Word. It's His love. It's His everything that comes into our life that produces the pleasing work that eventually, by the grace of God, will be the one that will be ready to marry Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. Ninth verse. And he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called into the marriage. And again, speaking of these guests, and they're blessed, and they're happy, and they're thankful, which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. So again, this is this one that's been taking John around, been showing him all these wondrous things. And this is John. Again, let's go back and think about who this was. This was the one that was with Jesus. This is the one that Jesus said, the one that I love. Praise God. He knew the Lord. But he didn't know him like this, did he? And you know, old John, as wondrous as he knew the Lord, John's not having the place that we're talking about tonight. That's not meant for him. He said there are 12 thrones that I'm going to let you guys sit upon, and you're going to rule over them 12 tribes. But this place is for them that are listening today. This place is for them that are willing to go. There's a great faith that we have to have at this time, brothers and sisters. A lot of people think, oh, look at the faith that they had to have back then. God, again, He gave great faith and it required great faith. And again, for an overcomer at any age. But I do believe at this time it's the greatest of faith that it's going to take to win Him. I just think of the things that pull at our life. I think of the Antichrist that is so in this world at this time. And I'm not talking about the Antichrist. I'm just saying anything that's against the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Anything that doesn't profess Him as Lord and Savior. And it's growing. Don't think it's not. There is a great movement. And it's the movement that's going to turn into this Babylon that we've already read about. It's just preparing the way. Great faith, brothers and sisters. Great faith. To them that say, well, oh, he's been gone a long time. So many Christians I meet. Well, do you really think that it's going to be that way, that he's really going to come? Maybe it was just a metaphor. Have you heard that over and over? Revelation, isn't it just a big metaphor? Oh, that battle that's going to happen. Oh, he's just talking about our spiritual battles. Let me tell you something. This is a real battle that's going to happen. He tells you how many people are going to be down in there, and the carnage that's going to be at that time is going to be tremendous. Amen. Don't get caught up into those things. When they start to say, oh, he's not coming back. When they say, oh, he's been gone so long. I'll tell you what, I'm looking up. I didn't expect to get here tonight. But you know what? It was just as good to look for him. And he's starting to teach me that, because you know what? Where Jesus is and he's in me by his grace, that's my heaven. And it is, in a sense. And I'm living heaven every day. And I hope you are too, because I got Jesus. It's just in a moment I'm going to see him. Praise his name. But it says, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Isn't this precious again? Again, this has to be a bridal saint. This is one that's so close to the very image of Christ. That John, who knew Jesus so well, was bowing down to worship him. Oh, it's got to be the Lord. Do you see how the glory of the Lord can be so wonderfully emitted through a saint and upon a saint? That bride, she's going to have, isn't that precious? Her own light. The glory of God is so radiant upon her. Now do you understand how people are going to worship her? Is it that hard to understand now? When you can see that John himself was worshiping one of them. By the grace of God, one of us. Isn't that awesome? Read the Bible. It all makes sense. Don't try to get your self-righteousness in there, because you won't see it then. Just believe Him. Praise His name. Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, And behold, a white horse that speaks of the righteousness and power. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. I sure appreciated Debbie singing that the other day. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Okay, you'll see that in Revelation 2:18. This is coming up right now. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That's when he was judging Thyatira. We saw that also in chapter 1. And on his head were many crowns. Now that's the difference. We didn't see the many crowns on his head there back in chapter 2 or chapter 1 when his eyes were as a flame of fire. Because you know what? Now it's talking about the bride. Those many crowns are the wonderful bride of Christ that's with him. The ones that have a crown. The ones that are wearing that crown. Praise his name. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now I want to stop there for just a moment because that'll confuse some and say, well, what do you mean he had a name that no man knew that except he himself? Well, I believe that he's speaking about mankind here because I believe in verse 16 he goes on to say that he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you notice in this chapter, it's so precious about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are five names that he's given in this. In verse 1 and verse 6, it's basically kind of the same. The Lord our God, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In verse 7, we see that he's called the Lamb. In verse 11, we see that he's called Faithful and True. In verse 13, which we haven't gotten to yet, he's called the Word of God. And in verse 16, he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I appreciate that there's five because obviously that's how I see him. He's grace. And that's how I know him is grace. But you know what? We need to know him as every single one of those as his bridal company. And if you really think about each one of those, it's a different picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? He is the King. He is omnipotent. But yet he is also my Lamb. And he's also always faithful and true. And praise his name. He is the Word of God. See, people try to separate that so many times. This is Jesus. He's the Word of God. That's why when people say, well, how do you see Him? How do you know Him? How do you know He's speaking to you? It's the Word of God. I am the Word. Became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise God, it set everything in motion. By Him all things consist and hold together. He made everything. Without Him nothing was made. Everything was made for Him. And that's who loves me. That's who loves you. Power, brothers and sisters. Absolute, complete power in the name of Jesus. So again, we're going on. Verse 13. And He was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And brothers and sisters, again, no one will ever escape that blood. That blood that was put over the doorposts in Egypt that night, they didn't escape it, did they? No one escaped that except if he saw the blood. If he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. We are either going to accept his blood or he's going to require their blood. And that's what it's coming down to. And that's why we don't want to see anybody miss this opportunity to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. That woman I was speaking to again today, she was so burdened about a man that she'd only spoken to and really doesn't know. But the Lord had put her on him on her heart. And I said, let me tell you something. There's many people. The Lord will have me see in a paper sometimes or see on TV. I'm sure you've been there. And the Lord says, pray for that person. Pray for him. Not in my goodness, because that's a strange moment because I don't know him. But you know what? If the Lord's telling me to pray or encouraging me to pray for somebody, I want to get down on my knees and I want to pray for them. Amen. And there's been certain ones that have been public people that are famous ones that the Lord has actually had me pray for. I don't know why, but I know it did something. First of all, I know it did something for me. Because I did what He wanted me to do. And it never returns void. Because that's the Word of God. Praise His name. All right. So again, and His name is called the Word of God. Now let's see what this Word of God does. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And again, these are His wondrous saints that get to come with Him. And that'll be an exciting time. And what a moment when we can see all this judgment being poured out. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword. And Lord willing, we'll speak on this sword the sword of the Spirit this Sunday, and I've been really meditating on that. It's been so sweet to me. But I was thinking again, here comes this word of God, and here comes this sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. Remember, it wasn't with his strength, or it wasn't in all those numbers of people that was going to destroy this. It wasn't in some lightning bolt that was going to... It's the word of God. It's the word of God. That will get it done. And that'll get it done in your life. See, you're fighting again. It says you're not fighting against flesh and blood. No. It's this spiritual wickedness and all of these things. And the only way that you'll ever fight it is in the Word of God. You have to understand that. If you're fighting depression, if you're fighting financial things, if you're fighting hatred in your home, if you're fighting hatred at your work, whatever it is, you need the Word of God to battle that stuff. It's not going to be an attorney that's going to work it out for you. Now, they have their place. I have a brother. I don't want to hurt his business. No, I'm just teasing. But he knows. He does know. The Word of God is what fights his battles. The Word of God is what fights my battle. And it makes me victorious. And I'm in the victory in the Word of God as I see it being poured forth. And I think of how wonderful this is, that even wrapping up this whole thing, when he's taking all of this wickedness and he's putting it away, and he's even going to obviously chain the devil at this time as well too and put him in that bottomless pit, he does it with the Word of God. Amen. It is written. The three words that the devil hates the most. It is written. That's why you need to know your Word. I want to know everything that's written. How about you? So anything I come against, devil, it is written. It is written that God's for me. Who could be against me? It is written that I'm the apple of his eye. It is written that he's not going to withhold anything good for me. It is written that perfect love casts out all fear. Think of all the things that are written for you. They weren't written just about something. They were written for you. The personal Jesus that loves us so. Praise his name. So out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Here it comes. There's Isaiah speaking to us. Praise God. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. You'll read that in Revelation 14, verses 10 and 20. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's keep going on here. Verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. Oh, I love this. I think that the Lord was just showing me this again. This is another one of those glorified saints. See, that saint so bright that John thinks that angel's standing in the sun. I just think it's the sun glory coming off the angel. What do you think? I really believe that. I think up there's not going to be any need of a sun, is there? He's the light of it, right? Praise his name. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of glory to go around. We just need to be willing to receive it. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Isn't that a wonderful way to put Armageddon? And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a big supper. He's coming back, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to be a pressing time, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings and the flesh of the captains. Look at all the high and the mighty, and the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And again, you read about this in Revelation 6:15, Revelation 18:17, and Ezekiel 39:12. It says that it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. Remember, this is the place that 200 million, that's that visiting army that's going to be coming down into that group. The blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle. Oh, that couldn't happen. It's just being prepared right now. Know it. Oh, I'm telling you. You think these countries are ever going to come and have a peace treaty? They're going to have a verbal peace treaty. You think Korea's not bent on doing something? You think Iran's not bent on doing something? You think China's not bent on doing something? The only reason I don't think, and a lot of people think, oh, I think the U.S. is bent on doing something. I don't think so right now. I think God is still blessing this country. I believe that Jesus is still moving through this land. I do. But I do know that the Word of God says that all those nations are going to turn. I do pray for this nation, though. I pray for Israel, and I pray that God would again encourage us in, as a nation to do and to move in the right way, even though I don't see it happening much anymore. But okay. And it says, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And again, we read that in Revelation 17:14. And I just, again, cannot believe the audacity of these people that think that they can battle the Lord. But I see him every day, don't you? And I've been one at certain times in my life where I'm thinking, oh Lord, I'll just go up against you and do my own thing. See, we're kind of kicking against it a little bit, even as Christians. Not this way, I want you to understand, but do you see these people? They just have it set in their heart because the devil is at such a rampant pace at this time that they think that they can actually go up against God. How foolish. And he does it very quickly, doesn't he? He says, in 1 hour, in 1 hour, in 1 hour. I was thinking about that again. He does it awful quick. Praise God. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. So see, he goes down there. They're going to have a... He doesn't even tell you the outcome right here. He just says it was a non-event. And so we'll just go ahead and tell you what I did with the beast and the false prophet. Because he already told us that he just goes ahead and has them all slaughtered. It's all over. Those fowls of the... And the birds, I'll tell you what, they were eaten for many a month. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. These are the first ones in. Sinners are going to follow. That's that lake of fire that... God is prepared. And I think it is interesting. You know, he doesn't cause them to have a death. He just takes them. He seizes them. You wicked ones. Such wickedness. And he puts them in there. And the remnant were slain. Here we go. With the sword. What? The word of God. Of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And again, I guess I just rest and I hope you glory in that... It's that sword that is fighting for you today. Amen. That sword is fighting for you today. And there isn't anything, I'm going to tell you anything, that God can't overcome in your life and keep you while you're in it and give you sweet joy and peace and just knowing that He's fighting your battles. Get out of the way. Amen. Just get out of the way and let God go at them. Let God go at it. Everything in your life. He's for us. Praise His name. Let's stand.